Every Friday is a time of prayer in this place. The moment the Lord gives you the salvation of your soul, then the battle starts. Because one, the enemy will want to pull you down from grace. And secondly, the enemy will want to fight every other thing that accompanies salvation, the good things of this life. And that's why we have to do what? Be in prayer. Hallelujah. Shall we rise to our feet? Somebody, the windows of heavens are open to answer somebody's prayers. If you're the person I'm talking to, shout hallelujah. And when the windows of heavens are open, what happens? Showers of blessings begin to drop. Hallelujah.
Jesus makes everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm fixing today on the manna. And that's why I'm happy today. Hallelujah. The windows of heaven. Blessings are falling today. There is joy.
Jesus makes everything right.
I gave him
my whole heart.
He gave me a robe of your wife.
He gave me a robe of your
wife. Yes, I'm fixed in today. And that's why I'm up. The windows of heaven. Blessings are falling today.
He gave me
a robe of your wife.
He gave me a robe of your wife.
Today.
I'm missing today on the man.
Hallelujah. I gave him my old tattered garment.
Yes, sir.
He gave me a robe of your wife. I'm fixing today on the man. That's why I'm happy. Hallelujah. Blessings are falling today. There is joy in my heart. Jesus makes heaven.
Yes, I gave him my whole heart.
He gave me a robe of your life.
Your hands down.
There shall be showers of blessing
tonight.
This is a promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from a Savior above.
Holy,
but for the
showers
of blessings,
showers
of
special.
There shall be showers of blessing.
Even tonight.
Send them upon us, O Lord. From to us now are refreshing. From now upon us. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God they are confessing. Now as on Jesus we call.
Together for the Lord, for the Lord, for the Lord, for the Lord. Amen. Let's go into the business of the day. And the business of the day is prayer. Somebody say prayer. If you can pray, there is a God that answers prayers. A few weeks ago, I took an exhortation here that I entitled "The Battle is the Lord's." Tonight we are taking part B of that exhortation for prayers. The battle is the Lord's. We don't have the strength to fight. But when we commit that battle unto Him in prayer, oh my God. When God fights, don't fight, don't do that battle by yourself. Eh? Don't be angry with anybody. Don't face anybody physically. Just go and commit. Report that matter. Report that person. Report that case to God in prayer. And watch and see the salvation of the Lord upon your life. Upon your situation. Hallelujah, somebody. Let's take a scripture for our bearing tonight. Psalm 20. And we'll read verse 7. Are we there? Let's take it together. One to go. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. May the Lord add blessings to this His word in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Let's have our seats. Amen. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But our trust is where? In the name of the Lord our God. He's the mighty one in battle. Hallelujah. We're going to read a story in the Old Testament and draw some inspiration there. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 20. We're reading from verse 1. The battle is the Lord's. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus said Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am dying, and all that I have. That's a terrible situation. Hallelujah, somebody. Can you look up? May you never come to a situation when you are subdued by your enemy. May you never come to a situation where your enemy dictates how your life will go. Somebody said, God forbid. If you have been in that situation where the enemy is dictating, the witches, the wizards, the demons, the human agents, they are deciding how your life will go, tonight is the end of that disease in the name of Jesus. If you're the person I'm talking to, can you shout a louder hallelujah? Can you shout a louder amen? Please, let's follow carefully what we are reading here. King Ahab, he was just smarting from the experience of Mount Carmel showdown, where Jezebel had, pushed him into idolatry. It got so bad until Elijah spoke that there will be no rain in the land until he called for it. We know the story that culminated into the Mount Carmel showdown. Elijah proved who the true God was. And after that proof, he took all the prophets of Baal and beheaded them. And Jezebel was mad and went after Elijah, and Elijah took to his heels. Amen. Without the grace of God, we are nothing. Elijah, as powerful as he was, as endowed as he was, when that grace moved away from him momentarily, he took to his heels. He was running away from a woman. May the grace of God never depart from you, somebody. I said, may his anointing never depart from you. May his presence never depart from you. But okay, the Lord spoke to him later, after the thunderings, after the wind, after the earthquake. He spoke to him in a still small voice and gave him instructions. So after the whole episode and so forth, Ahab was restored. And after Ahab was restored, the king of Syria, named Ben-Hadad, rose up against Israel. But he rose up against Israel at the wrong time. Do you know what I mean? The wrong time is because he rose up against Israel when Israel was at peace with God. Child of God, all you should be praying is that you keep the faith. Don't be found wanting at any moment of your life. The Bible says, when you break the hedge, what will happen? The serpent will bite. So King Hadad came against Ahab and Israel when Ahab was in good terms with God, and God rose and fought for him. Hallelujah! Every child of God sitting here tonight listening to me, the God that fought for Ahab in this instant that God is still alive. I say he will fight for you tonight and forever in the name of Jesus. Now, but look at it. Ahab was a king. He was a child of God. But he did not recognize what that kingship meant. The position of a king is a sovereign ruler. A king is a potentate. A king is a monarch. And a monarch is that kind of king that does not need permission or directives from any quarters to rule his subjects. That's the position. We shall get there. In child of God, do you know the Bible says that Jesus has made us kings and the priests? Hello? Let me not go too far. We'll still get there. But what I want to point out is this. Ahab came to a point where the enemy was dictating to him how his life will go. He said, bring your wives, bring your children, bring your silver, bring your gold. He said, Ahab said, my lord the king, please come and take them. Somebody say, God forbid. Somebody say, God forbid. You will not submit to your enemies in the name of Jesus. Now, verse 5 says, verse 5, 1 Kings chapter 20. Are we still there? Now, and the messengers came again and said, thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold, and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thy house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thy eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, mark, I pray you, see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives, and for my children, and for my silver, and for my gold. And I denied him not. And all the elders, and all the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do. But this thing I may not do. It's still feeble. This one I may not. May is a probability. A child of God will tell the enemy, I will not. Somebody say, I will not. Somebody say, I will not succumb to the enemy. That's right. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. Verse 10. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, the gods do so unto me. And also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. You know the meaning of that? The king of Samaria, the king of Syria, boasted in anger to Ahab. Let me tell you, the kind of army I am amassing to come to attack you, Ahab, and your people. If you gather all the sons in Samaria and count them in number, they are not equal to the number of army that I'm coming with to invade you. It was as bad as that. Praise God. But Ahab receiving some strength by the answer that he gave. Verse 11. And the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that gathered on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Do you understand that scripture? Do you understand it? The meaning is this. Let the person who is preparing to go to war Let him not boast and rejoice as somebody who has gone to battle and come back victorious. The harness is the equipment of that they use to equip the horse for battle. It's called harness. So when you're engaging your horse, preparing the horse for battle, you're putting on the harness. And then Ahab told him, somebody who is preparing for battle, you don't even know how the battle will be and you're rejoicing. He said, don't celebrate yet like somebody who has gone to battle and is coming home victorious. Hallelujah, somebody. Verse 12. And it came to pass, when Ben-Hadad had this message, as he was drinking, he and his kings in his pavilion, in the pavilions, and he said unto his servants, set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. Verse 13. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus said the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thy hand this day. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Child of God, I don't know what you are battling with. I don't know. The issue is that sometimes when we pray, we don't believe God. I don't know what situation that is you are grappling with. I don't know who is that man, who is that woman, who is that witch and wizard that is boasting and boasting against you. Tonight, the Lord that gave Ahab the victory is giving you double victory in the name of Jesus. Remember, he said the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's continue reading. What verse? Verse 14. And Ahab said, by whom? He's asking the prophet, how do we order the battle? And he said, thus said the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, who shall order the battle? And he answered, thou, you are going to start the battle. Verse 15. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and there were 232. Very insignificant number. And after them, he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. The entire population is 7,000. And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 kings that helped him. So, 33 kings with their armies against one king and 232 young men. Oh my God. The Lord fights not with number. That's why he says some trust in chariots, some trust in their horses. But the name of the Lord is our banner. Is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they are safe. Hallelujah, somebody. Okay, what verse are we? Verse 16. And they went out at noon. Okay, verse 17 now. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first. And Ben-Hadad sent out. And they told him, saying, there are men come out of Samaria. And he said, whether they be come out for peace, take them alive. Or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. Very boastful, too confident. Verse 19. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city, and the army which followed them, and they slew everyone his man, and the Syrians fled. Your enemies will take to their heels tonight in the name of Jesus. I say, they that trouble you shall take to their heels tonight in the name of Jesus. They fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on an horse with the horsemen. 21 and the final verse. The king of Israel went out and smote the horses and the chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. Praise the Lord. Before we go further, I take our prayer points. I want to call our attention to something. The Bible says, I want us to X-ray the position of a king that Ahab was. A king is a sovereign ruler. A king generally is like a dictator, maximum ruler. A king is not like a president. A president had to work with other organs of government. He had to seek the consent, like in Nigeria. Whatever plan, project, proposal that the president wants to pursue, even if that proposal will put every Nigerian on, or every jobless Nigerian, put the person on a job instantly, maybe under 1 month, no matter how beautiful that bill or that proposal is, it must go through the upper house and the lower chambers, the members of parliament. Correct? And if the president is unlucky and the members of the parliament say, no, we don't agree with this, he had to withdraw it. They may request for some adjustments, which if he wants it to pass through, he has to go still and do it. But a maximum ruler, a king, decides what he wants to do and then lost it over the people. That was why when Israel desired a king, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, Samuel cried unto God, Lord, these people have rejected you. They want king to go after them like other nations. God told Samuel, don't bother. It's not you they have rejected, it's me. Let them have their will, their way. But don't fail to tell them the conditionality, the condition under which a king shall rule them. This king will do whatever he wants. He can take your children to be their men servants and maidens and men servants. He can decide to do anything. He can enslave anybody, anytime. He can fix taxes without consultation and you must pay. He will be a dictator. Prophet Samuel told them all these things. He said, no, we're okay with it. So where I'm going is this. There is a position that Ahab was occupying, but he didn't appreciate the enormous potentials attached to that position. And I want to believe that why he couldn't appreciate it, because he was off and on. He was not steadfast with God. Praise the Lord. And no wonder, in the New Testament, after Jesus has come and died for us, he sent through that new birth as many as have believed him, whom he has given the power to become the sons of God. He said, he has made us priests and kings. Is that what the Bible says? Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. He said, he has made us what? Priests and kings. So not just kings, but also priests. Now we are bringing it home. So I want to let us see the position we occupy in God. so that you will understand how efficacious, how powerful your prayers will be tonight when you pray. Hello? It is only those who are not in this position that you can be fearful. You may be doubting your prayers, but when you occupy the position that Christ has put you and I as Christians, there is nothing you will say tonight in prayer that will not come to pass. Am I talking to somebody? Now, you know the position of a priest in God's economy. A priest is a go-between, is an intermediary, a mediator between the people and God. We saw that in the Old Testament. Praise God. And that was why when Jesus came, he came as our high priest that had to stand between us and God to reconcile us back to God, to give us access back to God. Now, that is as far as mediation is concerned. But our position in Christ as priests, we are not mediating for anybody. Correct? I hope you know that. But why are we called priests? Now, the connection with us being called priests is speaking of our closeness to God. Somebody say closeness to God. Because when Jesus gave up the ghost, the Bible says the curtain that was dividing the Holy of Holies from the outer congregation, what happened to it? It tore open on its own accord. The Holy of Holies that was forbidden from anybody entering. Only the high priest had to enter the Holy of Holies once in a year to atone for the sins of the people. But with the high priest who has made access for us through his death, that Holy of Holies was accessible to everybody. Praise God. So what I suggest, you are now close to God. You can go in and you can come out. Praise the Lord, somebody. So being a priest in the New Testament order speaks of your close relationship with God. Nobody is standing for you again. You now have unfettered access. So now you are a king. Now you are a priest. That is, now a king is a dictator, a monarch, a sovereign ruler, supreme ruler. That means you are in a position to decree whatever you want to decree, and it comes to pass. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Who is that subject that a king will say and the subject will hesitate or delay in carrying out the instruction or directives of the king? You will be summarily dealt with. Praise the Lord. The Bible says the word of the king requires urgency. They carry it out. Sharp, sharp, sharp. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. And so, being a Christian, there are a lot of things going for you. Let's look at a scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Let's look at it. Ephesians 1, 19 to 21. Before we pray, you need to know your position so that you understand the enormity of the grace and power that is in you. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You see, power, power, power. Repeat that verse 19. Repeat that verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what? Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20. which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21. Far above all principalities, that is where Christ is. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Go down to Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Ephesians 2. Chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. We have seen where Christ is seated. Can we see chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, Ephesians? Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Now look at verse 6. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Somebody, are you seeing where you are seated? If you are a Christian, oh, unfortunately, there are some who are not Christians yet. Please, being a Christian is not being baptized and being confirmed and having received Holy Communion and attending morning mass every day and doing your Easter duty and all, a member of CWO and a member of CMO and the rest of them. Praise God. It's deeper than that. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Every infant, by that scripture, every infant baptism is a nullity. Null and void. It is he that believeth and is baptized that shall be saved. Correct? Amen. You have to reach the age of reasoning and be able to differentiate good from bad and willingly on your own repent and go to the stream or the pool and submit, after you are repented and forsaken your sins, and submit yourself to the ordinance of water baptism by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is not complete yet, though. Then what next? You pray through to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when you are thus equipped, being in heavenly places in Christ Jesus means that you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you are led by the Spirit of God. And then you maintain a holy living. You study the word of God constantly. And you are fervent in prayers. When these three factors rule your life, nothing, no power can overcome you. Hello? If you are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and now you maintain holy living, number one. You maintain study of the word constantly, number two. And you live a consecrated, prayerful life. Which power will overcome you? It's not possible. Very important, study of the word. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ do what? Dwell in you richly in abundance. Hello? The psalmist said, Psalm 119 verse 11, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. The word of God is not rich in you, you will be fumbling and falling. But when the word of God is reaching you, you will behave like Joseph, who was offered fornication free of charge. He said, what? How can I do this and sin against my master and sin against God? Because the word of God was rich in him. Amen, somebody. Please, the word of God deals with your soul. All the anointing and falling down and exercise of power, they rest at the realm of the spirits. That is why you see people after falling under anointing, they've been speaking in tongues, they go back and fornicate. After seeing visions and prophesying, they go back and fornicate and live dirty lives. Because anointing rests in the realm of the spirit. Doesn't touch the soul. Praise God. But when the word of God is richly dwelling in your soul, it brings about conversion and holy living. Praise the Lord, somebody. That's why the word of God has to dwell richly in you. Amen. The battle is the Lord's. It is when these factors are in place that you are able to fight the warfare that is facing you, is before you, and then you will come out victorious. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says that the wicked runneth when no man pursueth him. But what happens to the righteous? But the righteous is as bold as the lion. Proverbs 28 verse 1. That's where you find it. The wicked runs when nothing pursues. So, if you're a wicked is somebody who is not only somebody who is taking a wicked is a sinner, somebody who is not living by the word of God. So, you don't have the locus standi. You don't have the, you are not legally qualified to contend in prayer if you are a sinner. Praise God. The prayer of a sinner is abomination unto the Lord. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So that's why in most cases you do all the vigils, do all the prayers, you go back, situations remain the same because your prayer did not cross the ceiling or the roof. Amen. Because while you are praying, the enemy is standing in the presence of God accusing you. But you are a righteous God now. The enemy will remind God all the dirty things that you are doing. And Lord, he just fought with somebody before going to the vigil. Lord, he slapped his wife now and he has not made it right. No, he stole somebody's money even on his way to the church. He is a gossiper. He's blackmailing everybody in the church. Lord, you are a righteous judge. Will you answer this prayer? God will not answer that prayer because God has exalted his word above all his name. Praise God. So it's not about sweating in prayer. You're jumping, sweating. Are you legally qualified to approach the throne of mercy for prayer? Praise the Lord, somebody. That's why before we pray tonight, we have to make our lives right. So that you don't waste tonight, you don't just keep awake in vain. You don't just come here and waste the night and waste and the comfort you're supposed to have on your base and so forth. You just come and while away your time. God is a God of principle. Hello? He's a God of order. If human government works by order and principle, how much more God who they borrowed it from? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, I believe, it said, God is not mocked. He said, whatsoever you sow, that is what you are going to reap. Somebody say, God have mercy. Somebody say, God have mercy. Can I hear you say, God have mercy? And I'll say, God have mercy on me tonight. The battle is the Lord's. But before the Lord will fight for you, you have to make peace with Him. Amen. You have to be at peace with God. For God even said, when a man's ways please the Lord, without even prayer, without even fighting, he maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. As the power of righteousness, as the power of clean living. Amen. Some of us is covetousness. Some of us is pride. Some of us is pull him down. No. This man is taking too much. We must bring him down. Do you know that the fight, the 33 kings, 32 kings plus Ben-Hadad, that went to fight Ahab, do you know that that fight was unprovoked? Ahab didn't do them anything. He wasn't owing them. He wasn't owing Ben-Hadad. So what motivated Ben-Hadad to amass 32 other kings to go and fight Ahab? What is it? Greed. Somebody say greed. He wants to expand his territory. He wants Ahab and his subjects, Ahab and his people to become subjects unto him. But because it is not the will of God, child of God, because God is not in that conspiracy against you, he will fight your battle and you will see the victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Now, do you know, after that first battle, Ben-Hadad and his 32 kings were defeated. A prophet came and warned Ahab, don't rest here too. This same king and his people, they will regroup again and come against you. And truly, it came to pass. Let's take it quickly before we take a few prayer points. Go back to that first Kings. And what is that telling us? It's telling us that, child of God, there is no time for you to rest on your oars. You must be on your toes to possess your possession. You must be on your toes to keep that which the Lord has given you. Praise God. One thing is assured. Victory is assured. Verse 22 of 1 Kings chapter 20. Are we there? Let's read very fast and quickly. Verse 22 of 1 Kings chapter 20. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go, strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servant of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than them. They are not dead dreaming. Hallelujah. Let's continue. And do this thing. Take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms. They are reorganizing their army. Verse 25. And number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice, and did so. Verse 26. And it came to pass, at the return of the year, that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians, and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered, and were all present, and were against them. The children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the entire country. Oh my God. You see, the army of Israel, the Bible says, were like two small, you know, groups of, you know, flock of kids, of goats. But the army of Syria did what? Filled the entire country. It's not by power. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's not by might. By my spirit, says the Lord. It's not by power. It's not by power. It's not by power. Not by might. It's not by might. By my spirit,
says the Lord.
Must be removed. In Jesus' name. This mountain must be removed. By my spirit, says the Lord. Do you remember the number of Israeli army that gave Ahab the victory in the first instance? 232 young men against perhaps a million strong army from Syria. Not a million, because at least every king among the 33 kings, every king would have had at least 100,000 soldiers. Correct? Times 33. That's 3.3 million soldiers. Then only 332. That's about 0.5% of the Syrian army. Oh my God. Remember Gideon and his army. Child of God, don't fear the height, the might, the boast of that enemy that you're confronting, whether man or demon. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, the head of all principalities and powers. Is tabernacled in you, and he that is in you is greater and mightier than he that is in the world. Where the problem is, are you in him? That's where the problem is. Praise God. That is where the problem is. Let's finish that reading, please. What verse are we? Verse 28. 28. It says, and there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus said the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. The God of the mountain is the God of the valley. Hallelujah. Hey. That God that has been with you in your time of peace, your time of safety, that same God is still alive in this your time of difficulty and suppression and oppression. Can I hear somebody shout amen? So there is no situation that a child of God will not emerge victorious. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because the battle is the Lord's. Verse 29. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day, the battle was joined. The children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. Jay! 100,000. 1,000. 2, 3, 4, 5,000, 15,000, 20, 25, 30,000, 40, 50, 55, 60, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. 100,000. How many days? In one day. If the Lord could destroy the enemies of Ahab, as much as 100,000 enemies in one day. One night is enough. How many enemies do you have? They reach 20. How many troubles are you passing through? He reached 100. The Lord settled 100,000 problems in one day. Don't look at the magnitude of the problem or situation. Look at the mightiness of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. You never finish, verse 30. But the rest fled to Aphek, into the city. Oh. And there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. Oh my God. Even those that thought that I've escaped the battle scene and the battlefield, they were running away. God caused a wall. Huh? A wall, a fortified wall. God made sure that the wall caved in and fell on how many? 27,000. Child of God, except God has not decided to pick that battle for you. Hello? Except He has not decided to pick that battle for you, or except you are not in a position to move the hand of God to do the fight. That is better. Except, because it's always way to pick the fight. Except you are not in a position to move the hand of God to do the fight. No power, no situation, no circumstance, no demon can stand your prayers. So, 127,000. What happened? And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city, into an inner chamber. Somebody say inner chamber. Somebody say an inner chamber. When the Lord has subdued your enemies, the one where remain will go into hiding. I said that we go into hiding. They will go into hiding and never to come up again in the name of Jesus. Run into hiding. Never to come up again. That's the Lord we serve. And his servants in verse 31. His servants said unto him, behold now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on your loins and ropes on our heads, and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life. Oh my God. And the enemies submitted. And the enemies submitted. Ben-Hadad is now pleading, please let us, his servants are now advising him. Because even though he has run into the inner chamber, as long as that enemy is still alive, your prayer will still smoke him out of that hiding and destroy him completely. He knew that. And he said, I beg, let's go and beg him. Make him preserve our lives. So when the enemy comes and pleads with you and say, please, I don't fight you again, will you still kill him? Will you still pray against him? No now. It becomes a prisoner of war. Eh? You now dictate how his life will go. That is how your enemies shall submit in the name of Jesus. That is how every terrible situation will submit unto you in the name of Jesus. That sickness will submit in the name of Jesus. That failure will submit in the name of Jesus. That poverty shall submit in the name of Jesus. That childlessness will submit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Let's rise up and take some prayer points. The battle is the Lord's. Tell your neighbor the battle is the Lord's. Tell your neighbor the battle is the Lord's. Can I tell you something? You see, provision have been made in the scriptures. It took a prophet to tell Ahab he should not worry that there's a victory coming his way. Child of God, you don't need prophecy to know that victory is for you on every battle. Hello? I said, you don't need prophecy. You know why you don't need prophecy? You have enough prophecy here that has given you assurance of victory. Amen. I say you have enough prophecy here that has given you assurance of victory. Hallelujah. Let me tell you one of them. In Isaiah 59 verse 19, the Bible says, when the enemy rises like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. If you don't understand how menacing, how disastrous flood can be, then you remember the tsunami. Correct? Flood sweeps everything that it sits on its way. But the Bible says, no matter the level of that flood, the Lord will raise a standard that will overcome the flood. But let me tell us one thing. It's not every service will come in the confessing. You go back. That woman that was caught in adultery by the Pharisees, after the whole episode, Jesus made one profound statement unto her. What did he tell her? Go and sin no more. And by the record of scriptures, that woman turned from that place a sinner to a saint. May you become a saint from tonight in the name of Jesus. And if you have not taken the name of Jesus in water baptism for the remission of your sins, that's what the Bible says, Acts chapter 2 verse 38. You have confessed, if you have not taken the name of Jesus Christ in water baptism by immersion, it's not yet correct. It's not yet correct. Every Tuesday we are here to guide you on how to do it, and you can baptize this coming Tuesday. Hallelujah. And Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 7, what does it say? It says, when they come one way, oh my God, people who are troubling you in the office, those who are troubling you in your business place, those who are troubling you in your, wherever you are, the Bible says, when they come one way, the Lord will cause them to flee in seven directions. Hey!